As you know, in Mark's Gospel, this solemn tone tolls three times. This is the third. From now on, we're moving into Jerusalem. The disciples were on their way, going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went ahead of them. They were amazed. And those who followed were afraid. Already, Mark is telling us, they don't like what's going on. He's told them. Now, we might have editing work done in the account as we have it, of the prediction, but Jesus told his disciples this was going to happen. And he knew it. Time we could go into all the ways. He knew it obviously because of his incredible knowledge, but also the Holy Spirit was telling him this, and he who is the Scriptures knows the Scriptures and knows the account of the suffering servant, for instance. And so he tells them once again what's going to happen. We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man, which is the phrase he often uses in this context, will be handed over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him, spit upon him, scourge him, and put him to death. But after 3 days, he will rise. I was thinking this morning, Who gets this? Who understands this? Who understands the work of love, the wisdom, the infinite wisdom in this plan of salvation? Very few, I guess. But I was thinking of people like Marthe Aubin. Marthe Aubin was a French woman. Most of you know about her, I think. Founded a Foyer de Charité. She died only 8 or 10 years ago. Now, by the time she died, she lived on the Eucharist for about 20 years. She was astigmatic. She suffered all the time with incredible joy and radiance, and people came from all over France and elsewhere to just talk to her. And there was a joy and a radiance that came out from her, even when she was really suffering. Especially as most stigmatics, you know, on Fridays or on Good Friday. And she got it. But what did she get? The intimate connection between suffering and love. That's what she got. Why suffering? Why couldn't there be another way to do this, you see? The rest of the story today is, of course, how the disciples went right over their head. They have no idea what's going on. First thing, James and John, give us the two first places. This happens every time in Mark's Gospel. Jesus predicts this incredible mystery of God's love, which comes right out of the abyss of the Trinity, and the guys are arguing about who's the greatest. Or Peter. Ah, this should never happen to you. And Jesus says to him, out of my way, Satan, because you're thinking like man and not like God. My Father wants this, because this is the deepest, most beautiful, most powerful reality in the world. And I'm going to save you from your sins and from eternal death. Do you get it? The answer is no. But we don't either. The great saints get it. The rest of us, we're happy he did it, because, by gosh, where would we be? We would be going to hell if he didn't. But do we ever desire to join him? How he raises up that desire in people to be like Jesus, you know, to be taken over by love, to be concerned about these things. And as I say, some, I'm just thinking of Marshall Obama, there's plenty, but, or people who get caught and put in jail and beat up and tortured, and all of a sudden, from being just a regular fella, regular woman, all of a sudden, they're martyrs. Martyrdom is not just that you die. It's that your whole being is transformed by love. It's a charism. Not one we pray for a lot, but it's a charism. I think, you know, I could hear this solemn tone of these three tolls in Mark, you know, setting the tone for this whole mystery. And I thought, do we get it? And why don't we get it? Well, for the very reasons the rest of the story goes on. The first time that Jesus predicts this, you know, Peter was just shocked out of his shoes, you know. Suffering? And you? I mean, no, you're a big shot, Jesus. You're a prophet. Man, you mean I just called you the Messiah. And Jesus, you know, one of his close friends. Out of my way, Satan. Because the role of Satan is to try to dissuade Jesus from being the Messiah that the Father wants. That starts way back in the temptations in the desert, doesn't it? Hey, listen, you want to do a good job? All you got to do is to, you know, change these stones into bread. You want social action, man. The whole world will follow you. You can teach them anything you want. Right? Dostoevsky's Grand Inquisitor is probably the greatest exegesis of those temptations you'll ever find. You know, jump off that thing. My God, look at that. If you want to run this world, you want the world to do the Father's will, just adore me and the rest is taken care of. I'll give you the whole world belongs to me. It doesn't. He's lying. And I'll give it to you. And he classifies Peter with that. He's nicer in a way the next time they're arguing about who's the greatest. He takes a child and says, well, if you're not like this, forget it. And then this time, he says, look, true, you people are going to have authority. But I want to tell you what authority is like in my church. In the world, big shots all the time. Huh? President Bush wants to ride down Massachusetts Avenue. The cops clear the way. Everybody, you know. And he's not as arrogant as most of them. It's not like that among you. You want to be a pace setter? You want to be a leader? Okay, this is how you do it. You become the servant of all. The first time I was 23, maybe, and the abbot made me assistant to the novice master. I was ready, of course, for such a... No way. And he knew that. And he said to me, well, you know, you've been obedient. Not great, but you've been obedient. But now you're going to learn. Because in order to get along with these people for whom you are responsible, you're going to have to break your will at every moment. I thought, gee, that's a new idea. And it's true. It's true. How can you be a leader in the church at any level if you're not loving and breaking your will all the time? So that what is brought out, you see, is the love of Christ, and we're all heading for the Passion. Mark, of course, like all of them, he's a mystic and a genius. Not because he's so smart, like, you know, like normal smart. He's smart in the Holy Spirit. And this is what he's saying. The ones who get it, they're the leaders. Some are like a candle on a candlestick. Some are hidden in the hovel of some prison somewhere. I think we can. Is that what I want? Am I? Do I want to be like that? You know that those who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles, over the crowds, you know, over the nations, over the city, over the whatever, they lord it over them, one way or the other. Look at our financial, the guys at the top of these big companies. I've forgotten the figures now, but they're making something like 120% more money than the guys who are working for them. Something wrong, don't you think? And they're starving in all over the world, but especially in Sudan. They make their authority felt. Yes, Mr. Jones, your Cadillac will be here in just a moment. It shall not be like that among you. That's how we start to understand the passion. Whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant. Look at Paul. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all. Why? Because the Son of Man, and he's just described what the Son of Man's future is, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And that service, to give his life for the ransom of many. The heart of this passage is such a love. Such a love. It's got nothing to do with renouncing status. It's got something to do with loving so much you don't even notice their status. Because you're intent on serving. You're intent on bringing people to the mystery of the liberation of Christ. So the last bell has tolled now in Mark's gospel. And we'll move from here. The very next line is, and they continue on their way to Jerusalem or something like that. I'll tell you what it says. I'm sure we're not going to mark. Yeah. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple area. Now, we won't have this gospel tomorrow because we'll have the Feast of the Visitation. But I'd advise you to read it. And you see, if we can just get on the other side of all these texts to where the love is and understand him.